Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It goes without saying, you're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Seffi.
And I'm Wing.
And this episode is all about resentment. So if you're feeling some kind of bitterness or envy, jealousy, you know, unsaid things in your friendship group or with family members or just work people, I don't know who you know in your life, anyone, people on social media even, this is the episode for
maybe
you.
Maybe us.
Maybe even us. Maybe even us. We're here to take the shame out of it. We're here to talk about all the ways in which society encourages especially women to feel shit about themselves and compare themselves to other people. And I think it's quite a wholesome and kind and loving episode. We both get a bit deep at certain points. Wing hits us with some hard truths, and it's
we keep
amazing.
It funny, we keep it light.
We keep it medium, well, medium light, medium rare, you know.
Medium rare.
So enjoy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. I've got 3 drinks next to me. I've got a tea, a coffee, and a water. I'm ready to go. How are you?
Your drink of choice.
All 3 drinks of choice.
Nice.
Which will go
good.
First. Definitely the water, then the tea, then I probably will leave the coffee.
Are you still on the boiling water, just plain boiling water? Yeah.
Sometimes. In the morning, yeah. Early in the morning, sometimes I like a boiling hot water.
You're so that girl.
I'm so sort of.
But no lemon, no nothing. Yeah. I mean, it's just bizarre.
It's so off brand.
But it kind of is on brand in the way I was saying to you the other day, you're quite regal. You're quite a glamour purse. You're quite like kind of like old timey kind of royal woman. Like you have kind of custard and like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, bananas like, and cream.
Yes, you're quite traditional. You're kind of from the wartime.
Yeah, no, I do kind of get that.
You're a
I
wartime starlet.
Oh, wow, I love that.
That's kind what of, I think you are.
Curly's wife, I'm seeing myself as.
You are Curly's wife. You are Curly's wife.
Or the GCSE English girls.
You
there.
Are. Yeah, you are. You are.
How are you?
All right, yeah, let's get back. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
All right, good. Nothing, yeah, let's go with that.
Nothing new. Literally nothing,
nothing
new.
Nothing new. Yeah, I am good at the moment. So good, in fact, that it's a bit amazing.
Yeah, no, it is.
I'm so good at the moment. Thanks for asking. And I was saying to my therapist, I was saying to you, I've been saying to all my friends, I was saying to my boyfriend, I feel like this is the first time in my living memory that I've felt good and like I'm experiencing like a normal palette of emotions for this amount of time. Like it's been, God, how long has it been? Like
a couple months.
Yeah.
I reckon a month and a half, pushing 2 months.
God, I mean, that's a long time. It's been a long time of me feeling really, really good. And like, even when I'm bad, I feel bad. And then I just feel like it's okay to feel bad. And then I don't feel bad anymore. I
think
feel
that's
like
one of the
something's
key things.
Happening. Yeah, something shifted here where I'm in such a good phase, and yeah, I don't know. I feel really, really good. So I don't know. I almost am imagining a past version of me listening and being like, "Well, that's you, and that's not me. I'm never going to feel good," sort of thing. I almost thought because I'd never known what that would feel like. Like I had a therapist say to me before, sorry, I'm going straight in, but
no, go
I remember an old therapist was like, let's get you back on track. I think I said this on the podcast. And I was like, the thing is, there is no on track history for me. Like I have never known the track. The track and I are not connected
acquainted.
In any way. Yeah, I'm not acquainted with the tracks. So I almost felt like, you know, when people would be like, oh, things pass, and like, oh, if you feel bad, like it's not forever and things are temporary. Obviously, like, that was not my reality and I'd never known otherwise. And potentially, you know, this could be the end for me and tomorrow will be Pit City and it'll all be over and blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. But I just almost felt like that kind of idea wasn't for me because that could not be my reality because it never had been. But now it is. So I don't know if anyone... I guess this kind of feeds into the broader episode of the idea of sometimes when you see people doing well, it can be really affirming and you're rooting for them and you're kind of reveling in their happiness. Sometimes when we see people doing well, it feels threatening and we feel a lot of discomfort in the success of others.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that, just to lead us in?
I think, first of all, I'm just going to take all of the shame from everyone. I'll just take it. I'll absorb the shame.
Yes, yes, yes. Don't worry, guys. We'll take the shame on your behalf.
We'll take that from
Don't worry about it. Just pack now it's ours.
Hand it over.
Thank you so much. Through the letterbox. Yeah.
Empty your pockets of that shame because I think, first of all, there is no, like, obviously we'd all rather not feel shit about people's success. We'd all rather just be totally supportive of everyone and feel good, and we see someone doing well and that fills us with joy because we're so comfortable with ourselves and all of that stuff. We'd all want to feel like that, but I think that isn't realistic for a lot of people, especially a lot of women that have been raised in like a competitive society. We've been raised in a capitalist world, and also with women there's like inherent competition in a lot of our dynamics. So I think if you do feel sort of a bitterness at seeing someone else's success, let's take the shame out of that, because that's not going to be helping. That's just a fact. You felt bitterness about someone's success. It's not that bad. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, it's just human.
It is literally just a human thing.
And almost like, okay, that's not punishable by death. That's not a cancelable offence. Like, and it's okay to be a bit of an arsehole sometimes. Yeah, shame makes everything worse.
Because it makes it more bitter and more evil and all of the stuff. And then
so
you just
evil.
Isolate yourself and you think you're a terrible person, all of the stuff, rather than just being like, oh God, when I saw you win that Oscar the other day, I don't know who your friends are. Are you friends with Jordan Peele? I don't know.
Go on, guys, get us in these circles. I'm sure we've got some Nepo babies listening.
Yeah. I don't know who your mates are, but when I saw you win an Oscar, oh God, I just felt so jealous and resentful and all of the stuff because I kind of want to win an Oscar, blah, 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 blah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Let's communicate this shit.
I agree. I think as well it highlights things. We were kind of just having a conversation, surprise, surprise, before we started recording, that kind of is going to feed into this, I think, of sometimes when people don't give themselves the permission to admit what they actually want, when they see somebody else have it, it amplifies that frustration even more. Kind of, if you'd never been honest with yourself about wanting an Oscar because it feels so out of reach, and for, I'm sure, lots of legitimate reasons, but also...
It feels out of reach.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But, you know, if we've never given ourselves permission or the room to try at things... then when somebody else ends up getting things that we haven't even been able to admit to ourselves that we wanted, that fucking stings so bad. I always say to Seffy as well, like, when I am kind of in a bad way, I'll think to myself, it's a bit sick in the head, I think, but I'll imagine that Seffy started this podcast with some other girl from uni and like, it's not me, do you know what I mean? Like, just some random girl at uni, and like, now I know that those two girls who I went to uni with started this podcast and it became so cool, and it's like, God, I would want that. I would want that. Like, and it really brings a fire out in me of like, oh wait, no, it is you. Surprise! You did do it. Yeah, don't worry. It's all good. Like, no need to panic. Kind of really like a harsh prank on my soul.
It is a harsh
prank. But to kind of live through, how would I feel if this wasn't mine? And just separate yourself from your own life a little bit, because we've spoken before about the bias against ourselves and the idea that
we've spoken at length
and the mental crusher, and kind of like, oh, that's a huge achievement until you are the one who achieves it, and then suddenly you have all these reasons to discount it, like, oh, I only achieved that because like I overworked myself and, you know, it's not actually real, or that was just a fluke, like I didn't actually achieve that, you know, like all of these reasons why suddenly when it's you with the achievement it must be meaningless. We're a bit fucked up, aren't we?
We are,
just a little bit.
There's also a thing that I've been seeing a lot. I've seen this, like, I guess in different sort of pockets of the internet for a while now. And I think it's really true. And it was like, listen to what you are jealous of. Like when you feel an emotion of envy or like bitterness or sourness towards something, pay attention to what that is, because it's probably not directed at that person or they don't deserve that thing.
Yeah.
It's probably just you want some
sort of
variation
of
that thing. You probably want it. So if you listen to the fact that you feel jealous every time that someone gets a good grade in exam, you probably want to get a good grade in exam. You probably want to work hard and feel an achievement or whatever it is.
Yes.
If you feel jealous that of every single girl that you see that I don't know, is wearing a bikini, that would be something I would be jealous of. All these girls are wearing bikinis. Oh, I'm so jealous of them. I probably want to be able to do that, and I feel frustrated that I can't do that.
Mm.
Even though this year,
even I've though been she can,
living
yes.
in
she's
bikinis.
Killing it. She's girl bossing it. Yes,
it's a great year. Living in bikinis, but that would be something that I would look at and be like, God, I feel shit. I feel bitter and envious of these girls that can do that, because I want so desperately to be able to do that comfortably. And actually, it's like, oh my God, that's then a signifier that it's nothing to do with these girls. It's something to do with the bikini that's sitting at the bottom of your fucking shelf and your fucking under your bed that you haven't worn, and you feel guilty that you haven't worn it because you can't do it. Like, you gotta look at the things that bring up that strong emotion, because you have a strong hook on those things.
Yeah. And also, there's two things I want to say. First thing, also the idea that kind of what you were just saying of like, if someone does well in an exam, that means you want to do well in an exam. Or if someone's wearing a bikini, it's because you want to wear a bikini. I think the bottom line, the crux, if you will, is you want to feel love, because you feel like, you know, when you do well in an exam, you get love and praise and validation for it. And when you wear a bikini, you get love and praise and validation from it, and feeling a sense of... I think you would feel good in yourself when you are able to live the life that you want to live, i.e. wearing what you want, getting good grades, doing whatever.
100%. I almost feel like it's like, look at the specifics though, because I agree that basically it all comes down to, you just want to feel like a loved,
some sort
happy
of validation
on this planet that's accepted by your community. But I think, look at the specifics. I don't mean you see someone's avocado on toast and then it means, oh, you want avocado on toast.
But it's
like, you want to kind of nourish your body or blah blah blah. Like, I think, look at the specific ways. Like, if it is academic success that you are jealous of, then maybe you feel a lack of sort of achievement, working hard, like a drive towards something. Like, I think, look at the areas that shows up in your life.
I agree, but then I think they all will bottle down to, you don't love yourself enough in that
way. Everything
the bottom
does.
Line, the crux.
Honestly, crux, the only thing
What's
that's real
crux?
In life is love.
Oh, the only thing that's real in life is love. I stand by that.
And
I've been laughed out of town many a time for that, guys, but it's true. No, sorry to say. This is a cringy old world.
From years of doing this podcast now, I feel like we have done every topic that there
Under
is.
The
we
sun.
Are still going through them, all of them. Every single one of them, all these themes in life, really does just come down to love. Every single one of them.
I think as well, that's how social media feeds so much into this whole conversation, because I feel like, as much as people have always, and I think young women have always been like comparing themselves and, am I on the right track? This person's doing this, this and this, and they're following a certain path and I'm not doing that. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, 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 some may say. I feel like social media obviously puts some sort of lens, whether it's a rose-tinted lens or not, I think undeniably so, puts some sort of lens on other people's lives and allows you to dip into them as you please. And for me personally, I dip and dip and dip until there's no dip left in the fucking bowl. Like, I can't help myself but chips and dip all over the place until I feel ill at my own life. That's how I felt in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've had so, like, I look back and I'm like, God, I spent, like, especially in the pandemic, I think that feels like a real time, like early pandemic, of like feeling really deeply insecure and so confused in life and so frustrated at my own life. And all I had to do really was scroll. That was all I was doing personally.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone else was like crocheting and like having an amazing like training for a marathon, you know, like blah blah blah. I wasn't. I was laying in bed scrolling all day.
Well, with the introduction of TikTok at that point as well, it was just like, look, it's hell. You've created hell for me at the best time ever.
Yeah, yeah.
The perfect time for me just to sit at home and just go through TikTok all day.
Yeah, but I know I've said this before, I feel like I have to be careful with like what I look at, because I know I just get lost so easily. And actually, I was saying to Sepha yesterday, I've started playing Candy Crush.
I couldn't believe this. And you say I'm wartime.
You are wartime. I'm early 2000s nostalgia. I'm like a bit too old. Like, I'm almost like pushing the boundary of like, get a grip, like, blah, blah, blah. You are in a ball gown, floating down with shortbread, and like, do you know what I mean? Like, that is you. Like, I don't know if people will get that, because you're also so like young and like kind of spunky girl, woohoo, crazy. But like, do you know what I mean? You're so fun and like youthful. But we were talking about your handwriting the other day. Your handwriting looks like it's the fucking Declaration of Independence being handwritten in front of your eyes. Like, it's so old timey and like regal.
It's written with a quill almost.
It really is.
It's like, imagine you're going through the fonts on kind of Microsoft Word or whatever.
Exactly,
you get to the ones that are like the most fancy of fonts.
It's fancy font. It's fancy font for sure. Mm-hmm. And you are a fancy font kind of girl. But I've been playing Candy Crush anyway, because sometimes when you're feeling bad, for me personally, when I'm feeling bad, I don't necessarily have the energy to be like, right, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read, or I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch a film, or I'm going to go out and I'm going to go for a walk. I kind of need to stop my mind from thinking. I need to like cut through the overthinking vibe. Mm. And if I don't have the energy to necessarily do that in like a perfect, pristine, or like in the normal ways that my mind would normally go to, switching the app from fucking Instagram to Candy Crush is very easy to do. And then I spend 5 minutes on Candy Crush and then I can go about my day. It's kind of needing to reset throughout the day, like especially in the pandemic, I feel like when we were having a shit day and then it's like, right, it's 3 o'clock, I felt shit all day, I'm gonna get in the shower, get redressed, I'm gonna do my hair again, I'm gonna do a whole thing and get myself ready as if it's 8 a.m. because I need to reset.
I have something to say about that, just really briefly.
Go on.
I was on TikTok, so I re-downloaded TikTok recently.
Yes.
Big move, haven't had it for 3 years. I'm back. I'm loving it.
And with a timer set.
With a timer set.
She's ready to go. Yeah, she's fully equipped.
11:12 right now. We just missed 11:11, and I've already used it. My 15 minutes. So that's how addicted I am. I'm in. I typed in when I first got to TikTok. I was like, I'm going to type in Sephie and Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to see what's happened in the 2 years that I've missed it. Like, have people been making TikToks of us? Turns out they have.
They have. I typed in Sephie and Wing,
and oh my god, there was this one girl talking, and she was like, I was listening to this podcast the other day and they were saying like, reset your day at sort of 3 p.m. if you're having a shit day, just get in the shower and all that, so I'm gonna do that. And it was like, god, there's a girl like taking our advice.
What? Concerning. Deeply concerning. My boyfriend came home from work one day and was like, look what I've seen. And he had like the TikTok tab open with Sephie and Wing in the search bar and was like going through all the videos. It's really nice.
It's really, really cute.
But that would be the advice, I think.
Yeah, no,
the problem is.
The problem is when you type in Sephie and Wing, then it starts getting to kind of Greek mythology stuff, I've noticed. Like, there's definitely some kind of, well,
there's Sephi's wing.
Sephi's
wing is something.
Some kind of sort of Dungeons and Dragons
mythical
character.
Yeah, there's something going on.
Sort of situation.
Who has wings.
Yeah, there's something.
Because they keep saying the dark wing. Sephi's dark wing was blah, 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 and like things like that. And it's like, what's going on? That doesn't sound like Goes Without Saying to me.
To be honest, I love
that's
that.
Not my Goes Without Saying. Hashtag not my president. Hashtag not my GWS. Not my Nick.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Something I put in the little pitch of this episode, literally a little sentence, was about, do you remember this, going back to early 2000s stuff, the idea of a duff? Do you remember this?
I have so much to say about that. When I saw that you wrote the duff, yeah. I was
burst into tears. You burst into flames. Well, yeah.
When I went to go see that movie, every single person that was like, have you seen the duff? It's literally you. And I was watching it, and my sister was like, oh my god, you are the duff. Like, not as in like, you
I've never are. Seen the film, so well, I'm a bit scared.
It was kind that. Of she's a cool girl, I think, the duff.
Okay, good.
But it was like, I would rather sit in my room watching Japanese cinema.
Okay, she's like, kind of manic pixie.
She's manic pixie dream girl sort of vibe. Obviously, the name the duff stands for designated ugly fat friend is horrendous. But the actual girl in the film
is cool.
Super right. cool girl.
You would want to be the duff, really. But I do think that's ballsy. I guess, you know, times were different. But to say to your friend, you're definitely the duff.
No, it was said in a way that's like, wild. I hate to tell you this, but go and see the movie The Duff and the girl is you. Like, it was said in a way of like, it's crazy how much it is you. Almost like
I have to watch
well.
It. I have to watch it. So how do you feel about that then? What's your relationship to that?
Well, because the girl in the film is so stunning cool. and cool, it's okay, like, cool. Do you know what it is? It's just a good. Real example of Hollywood being
yeah.
like...
they couldn't bring the themselves to cast anything but a kind of gorgeous, white, thin actress. Girl. I don't know who it is, but...
Her name is Mae Whitman, I believe. She's
nice.
Really
I'm just
cool.
assuming everything about her, but I'm assuming she is thin, white,
she's like,
pretty.
Yeah, she's an absolute... Like, she's a stunner.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
she's pretty much... society's ideal yeah, of the girl. Maybe she's
girl.
Like a bit shorter. I have no idea. But she like she's a stunner. So I think it's just a classic example of like, we're gonna make a film called The Duff and it's about the designated ugly fat friend. Already there are some problems in that. There are some alarm
there
bells.
There are a few ringing. Alarm bells ringing. Yeah, I'm hearing. Can we hear the bells? Yeah, night. Let the bells ring.
And then you go to see it and it's like, wait, this girl is more is prettier,
everything.
Is thinner,
yeah.
is not an ugly and fat person. She's actually prettier and thinner and all this stuff than everyone I know. Like, it's almost
yeah.
like, what is going on here? She's the designated ugly fat friend.
And how old were you when you watched that?
I don't know. I think we're probably about 14, 15.
Oh, that's quite old.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I thought it was a bit more early 2000s. Can I have a look? Just
yeah.
for a reference.
I haven't watched it in years. I would actually be intrigued to watch it again, but I remember even at the time thinking, God, are we like?
Is this what we're doing?
Are we all
oh, yeah,
gonna
no, it
kind
came
of
out in 2015. This? People were calling you the Duff in 2015. You were 19 years old. I'm actually now
they
I'm getting
calling
annoyed.
Me the Duff. They're not saying look in our friendship group.
Okay,
you
okay,
are
okay,
the
okay,
Duff.
Okay. Right, right. They're saying you're that character.
Oh,
that you're that
Jesus
character.
Jesus Christ!
I was like, saying... God, she's handling this well.
Jesus, no,
I
no.
was like, God, this is okay. Got you.
Please.
Yes.
If people were saying that,
that's what
they would not.
Yeah.
Know
okay. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Jesus. God.
Well, you were 19. That still that feels really recent for a film like that to come out.
That is actually no. They were saying go and see the Duff. The girl in it is literally you. Like it's actually
is you.
Like
yeah. Got
just
you.
There's a scene where she talks about everything that she likes, and it's literally a list of everything that I like.
It's your
in
personality.
Life. Like, oh, okay. This is
this is you. They're based
check.
On you. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's not polite. Like it's not a nice thing. It's like
it's pushing the boundary, isn't it?
It's not go and watch Mean Girls. Regina George is literally you. It's go and watch this film. It's called The Duff, and The Duff is you. Like, it's not great.
Jesus.
It's not a nice
fucking thing. Hell.
Probably offended me at the time, but then you go and see it, and it's the most stunning girl in the world. And it's like,
well, that's good. Yeah.
And also, it's like, look, I can't deny my list of hobbies that you've just written out.
No, no, it's undeniable.
Yeah, you can't deny
it. At some point, we have to acknowledge.
But yeah, I remember thinking at the time, like, this film shouldn't have been made. Like, this is bad for women. And to be honest, I'm quite surprised. I'm not surprised that women took these parts, but it's like, look, the women involved in the making of this and stuff, like, come on, what's going on there? The Duff, are we like, I don't know.
I don't know why in my head The Duff was like a real 2004 kind of movie, like a real early 2000s. I don't know if that was when people were using the phrase.
I'd never heard the phrase before. I'd literally never heard the phrase before in my life. But I remember being confused. Because
yeah, I'm feeling confused.
So stunning, and it's like she's
you're
the Duff.
Confused.
It's like,
yeah, I'm fucking confused.
What's going on?
Yeah, I think that is the perfect example of, again, something we were just talking about, how other people's kind of light and wonder and like niceness is a bit hard for people to stomach sometimes, and they really want to bring us down. I think there's a level of, you know, just between us guys, just between the group, just off the record, just, you know, within this little circle that we have going, great circle, by the way.
Yeah.
Love you
Let's
all.
Let's keep it going. There's no duffing here.
Let's hold hands. No way.
To be honest, there's no
There's no duff anywhere. I'm not seeing any
duffs.
Here.
Yes. It doesn't exist.
No.
Fuck this. I get annoyed now.
No, I'm getting annoyed, actually.
Yeah, no, it annoys me.
No, yeah, I'm getting a bit riled up. It's almost, you can see the, it's so by design. You can see the intention by pulling that into like this kind of summer smash hit blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
You're giving all of these women the perfect way to hate each other and then open them up and steer them running into your arms. Ugly white men.
And then we talk about, oh, there's competitive female friendship, exactly. There's resentment, there's bitterness. It's like, yeah, because you make movies called The Fucking Duff.
The Duff. Is that a joke? I'm getting annoyed.
Yeah,
I'm getting annoyed. Why everything?
In this nice circle.
In this nice circle, let's go.
Yeah.
In this nice circle, there's, you know, no shame about the way that we feel sometimes, guys. We have little, you know, bad moments, and we do things that don't necessarily feel aligned with like our beliefs and our deepest kind of core values and our true essence as a human being and all of this shit. We make mistakes, we say silly things, maybe you called someone the Duff, whatever, we'll move on, okay?
We'll move on.
I forgive you
my
guys.
My friends, you called me the Duff.
Yeah,
and I was 19.
Steffi's friends, I want to chat. Poppy's
you
friends.
Said you, I reminded you of that girl, and that's pretty crazy.
It's out of order. It's out of order.
Even though I agree.
No, I agree, and I haven't seen it, but...
She is very similar, but it's still rude.
It's still, sometimes people like to push what they can say because they almost think, like, what? No, I was only saying blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
I completely know what you
like,
mean.
Like, for example, oh, you remind me of blah, blah, blah. It's like, we all know that's an offensive thing to say, but you are pushing the boundary of what you think you can get away with because it's a bit under the surface, but you're not so
totally.
Clever.
you're
being a cunt. Let's be real. Anyway, right. So anyway, we've all been cunts, okay? I've been a cunt. I'll be a cunt tomorrow.
God,
I continue to
cunts.
Be a cunt. I'm trying my best, whatever. Let's take the shame away. The shame, well, don't worry. We've handled the shame. We've packed it away. We've sent it off.
Yeah.
To Amazon. Jeff Bezos got it.
Next day delivery, right to Jeff's door.
Yeah, he's got it. He's dealing with it now. It's his problem.
He
and he can
it.
Take it.
The world's shame.
Yeah, the weight of the world on his shoulders, as he should.
Yeah, he can take it.
Yeah.
Elon, there's a package coming for you.
Oh,
well,
it's on its way. It's
Marky
on its way.
Marky Boy, Marky Zuckers, it's on its
did
way
I have
to
a?
As well.
Did I tell you guys I had a dream the other night about Elon Musk? I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did, where he
he really, and he was cutting us up. He was
no,
doing a bit of a
dark.
Mary Shelley moment. Well, no, let's not. All right. Well, anyway, basically
let's
what I'm trying to say is
that.
We're all arseholes, fine, okay? There's no shame. But now let's spin it. I think also we've all been the person, probably, well, I've definitely been the person, where I've been made to feel like people in my life don't want to see me happy and kind of off the back of or thriving or being a galba and just oh my god you're killing it. They don't want to see you kill it, they want to see you killed.
Yeah,
maybe not killed, but like you know, I'm sure your friends like you. But going back off what I was saying at the beginning of, like, you know, I'm in a really good point at the moment. You know, let's not get used to it. I'm touching wood, but, like, I'm feeling really good at the moment. And I do feel like sometimes people in our lives get quite comfortable with the idea of us being a shell of ourselves, or quote-unquote the duff, or someone who, you know, oh, that's okay, I don't have to worry about them because, you know, they're holding themselves back, sort of thing, or like, then no one's interested, like, whatever, blah blah blah. And the minute you kind of challenge that or break through that wall, like, you know, there's a huge conversation before about, for example, quote unquote the duff, if someone was bigger and lost weight, then being treated differently by their friends and notably their female friends in their life, I feel like there's a real, I think it's an unspoken thing largely, or I feel like it has been an unspoken thing, where people get very comfortable with the idea of who you are. And if you challenge that in any way, it can really rub people the wrong way, and it can be suddenly very abrasive, and all you're doing is maybe trying to be happy or kind of not living to appease them anymore.
Yeah, just growing.
Just growing, just living. As you should.
Yeah. It is jarring when people change. Like, because there's also a part of me that thinks, God, people just never change. Like, there is something in, like, people do really stay the same their whole lives to a certain extent. But then I do think, like, there has to be room for, like...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Have you ever had it where someone's changed in a way that has, like, rubbed you up the wrong way slightly? That's like, oh, that is... different and abrasive now.
Well, it's hard because I don't know if I have ever felt like, oh, they've changed. I don't actually know if that's ever something I've ever actually thought about the people in my lives. I don't think I've really ever thought like, oh, they've changed. I think sometimes I would more so recognize it as like, oh, I've never noticed that about them before. Like, oh, like I had a kind of moment where someone quite close to me, like one of my good friends, I don't want to say materialistic, but they were just there were things that I was reading as like superficial or materialistic or that didn't fit with kind of my identity of us as like these kind of scrappy little girls, and that bugged me. And I think now that you've asked me, I would probably pin that on, yeah, like that person was changing and growing and evolving and etc etc, but I don't know if I'm very, I don't know if I have ever thrown out the you've changed. Have you noticed people changing?
No,
I've definitely had it said to me though. Probably
you've had it said to you,
you've changed.
I've had maybe it said to me.
Oh, but yeah, you have had it said to you.
Yeah. And then I've had an apology since, like, in terms of I haven't changed. I don't think.
No, it's kind of what we were just saying of like, the fucking minute you tease the idea of liking yourself, people are like, ah, excuse me, you've changed.
I don't know. Were you going to say something then, though? I feel like I interrupted.
No. Take it away.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have ever noticed a change in someone. Like, to be like, oh, you used to be like this and now you're not like this, in a way that doesn't feel like kind of growth or something like that. I feel like the only times where it would be like, oh, God, you've changed, is if it feels like someone has done like a bit of a 180 on something that they really did believe, and then it's like, oh, suddenly it's like, oh God, you've really changed, and it feels like a slight, either a sharp pivot or like a bit of a regression of like,
yes,
oh, I thought you were above that and now you're doing this thing.
Yes,
but I don't know if I've ever really seen that as necessarily like, oh, you've changed, I always thought you were this person, now you're not this person, but more as just like, oh, people are crazy, they do crazy things.
Yeah, I think I'm more so of the, my mind naturally gravitates in my life to like, in my relationships, I normally think, I wouldn't necessarily jump to they've changed, I would probably be like, oh, I had misunderstood them. Even if they had changed, I think I see it as like, oh, it was my perception of them that maybe wasn't right, for good or bad, sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah,
I feel
think
like
so.
It's like, no, I feel like my perception is right, if just like, oh, I'm seeing them at that
who
point,
they are.
But I feel like it's like, it's not, oh, they've changed so much. It's almost like they're making a decision
that I don't like.
I don't like that decision. Because I feel like people never point out the changes in someone that benefit them. They only point out the changes in people that they don't agree with.
For sure. Actually, just when you were saying that about, like, I don't really know even what it was you said specifically, but I don't know if this would have anything to do with why I might struggle with identifying maybe conflicts and things like that as a person changing. Mm. I went through a huge period of change, probably the most monumental thing I've gone through in my life. And I really hope it's the most monumental thing I go through in life at all. Mm. But I doubt it is, because, you know, this world, it just throws shit, doesn't it? But yeah. I would like to think this was pretty crazy, and it, you know, I don't know how much crazier it can get considering I was quite young. Mm. One of my parents, it was when you were saying, like, oh, I thought, you know, I knew your beliefs on something and now you've changed quite drastically. Yeah. I think my idea of change and almost, I think how I'm expected to deal with change and how I'm expected to deal with other people, surprise, surprise, I feel like I'm expected to deal with other people by being basically, like, invisible. Like, smart, yeah, just being completely quiet, like, you can't feel negatively about anything that anyone's decided to do, because you don't have a say and you just need to shut the fuck up. And I definitely feel like that was hugely amplified, if not caused, by this huge thing that I went through, God, from the ages of, like, 10 to, well, still now, I guess, where one of my parents completely changed their whole identity through a really dangerous, destructive, abusive relationship. Mm. Changed their whole way of life, their lifestyle, their friends, no relationship to their family, changed where they lived, like, moved up and down the country, changed their religion, had loads of babies, everything, changed the way they look, everything, in quite an extreme and dramatic way. Like, it kind of couldn't be more polar opposite, I think.
Yeah.
To the way that this person always was. And because that person was my parent, it felt very personal. That's my whole idea of safety and security in this world, mm-hmm. being turned upside down and showing me that not only can anything change in a moment's notice, but when people love you, they can just decide they don't love you that much tomorrow. Which is so, yeah, it's not good, is it? It's quite rough, and I don't necessarily see it that way at the moment, obviously, but that was definitely a belief that I internalized at a really young age. And so I think now I am still kind of in the people pleaser sense. I'm still working through the idea that I guess other people do make mistakes and stuff, because I think I only really recently have been fathoming that that was my parents' mistake and not my mistake, not for being like an unlovable child, for example. So fucked up.
Oxymoron.
Oxymoron, yeah, it doesn't exist. Horrid Henry. Who did I think I was? All right, Draco Malfoy. Like, no, I was a lovely, sweet little child. I mean, I really was, like, a pleasure to teach, a star pupil. Like, I couldn't have been better. I was a really sweet little thing. Funny, whatever. Smart, yeah, and I was a child. Bottom a child. Line.
It wouldn't matter if you were literally.
If I was a real nightmare.
You're a child.
Yeah, you're a child. So, any children listening, and I know there are, because I've seen you in the stats. It's way past your bedtime. Don't make me pack you up and send you to Elon's house.
Oh, God.
Give you a fright. That will teach you for delving through the realms of the internet that you shouldn't go through. But yeah, I think I maybe have a bit of a thing of not being able to understand that people do change and people do make mistakes and people do fuck up and, like, aren't inherently more worthy than me, because I think I always felt like things were always my fault, and maybe that's why I perceive things as, oh, it isn't that they've changed or done something that I don't like. I've probably just misread it, or I had the wrong end of the stick, or, you know, I never should have got that close to them to begin with, sort of thing. Yeah. So that's a little bit about me and my trauma. Hope you don't mind.
It's beautiful. I love every I love every minute of it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Any thoughts on that? Anything that makes you think of? Or are we just going to leave it in the dark?
No, I don't know if it makes me think of anything. I'm just absorbing every one of your words as usual.
Okay.
I feel like also one of the things that you said in there was that it was like, I don't know, changing every aspect of this person's life.
Mm.
It was very much like it's a parent and it's like you feel like you know them to their core, but their core beliefs changed. I feel like that's one of the most jarring things. It wasn't just like, I now don't talk to these people that I used to talk to.
Oh,
my
no.
friends aren't my friends anymore. It's like your core beliefs changed completely. And
100%.
I feel like that sort of thing must be so jarring, because it's like who you are in your essence appears to be missing now. And it's like, where's the thing? So I feel like that is a really traumatizing introduction to the idea of change.
So traumatizing, and the idea of trust. But it's like, if I can't trust you, who can I trust after like how kind of wrapped up I was in the love that I had from you, to have that withdrawn and watch you change into something that I really, not only do I not recognize you, but you're actively sustaining harm towards me.
Yeah.
What is life then? You know, like in a real actual, like tangible sense, what is life though?
What is that?
What is life? And kind of, oh God, Ozzy, you're so cute. Sorry, he just stood up and stretched. I have to stroke.
I just
have
saw his ears.
I've got no choice but to stroke. Aye, aye, aye. Sorry. Also, I used to think about it as if, I used to think about it as if my mum had died and I was living with this kind of weird ghost of her and her murderer. Like, oh, I'm living with this weird kind of zombie of you, kind of the resurrection stone. It's like, you were brought back, but as this weird thing that I don't recognize, and I have to live with your murderer every day.
That's so dark.
Yeah, it was
dark. Is that how you viewed it as a child?
Yes, yeah. I remember being probably about 14 and thinking, I'm living with kind of someone who used to be like a fresh white piece of paper has now been screwed up by someone and chucked in the bin. And I just watched the person who did it. And now they're living in my house. Yeah, and all I have is kind of this screwed up piece of paper. And it's like, no matter how much I try and unfold the piece of paper and smooth it out, you're gone. How do I get you back? Like, you're always... you're always going to be crumpled up and torn, and you're so different. You're not mine. Like, you've got someone else's name written at the top. Bizarre things. Like, had my name tattooed on them, got the tattoo removed. Like, my whole identity. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You've never told me that before.
Yeah. And you, I know how you feel about tattoos. They're permanent. Sophie's scared of tattoos, guys. And rightfully so.
Petrified.
That's a story for another day. Seffi is legitimately
scared
of
that story.
Yeah, it's horrible. No, and I was probably about 14.
People make decisions that absolutely blow my mind every minute of every day.
Me too. But then, look, this is why as well, I think what's feeding into me being in a good place at the moment is that I'm really able to look back and be like, God, these are the things that I was, my trials and tribulations. Mm. I've been tried and tested. Meanwhile, I've accomplished some things. I've finished school. I went to uni. I've started an amazing podcast. Like, I've actually, despite everything, and I think something that brought me a lot of closure, I don't know why I'm really opening up now, cracked me wide open. Like, this really kind of wasn't the episode for it, but whatever.
No.
I think something that really helped was kind of the closure I got of, like, looking my mum in the eye. I know I was saying my parent earlier, but did you guys get it right? Who did you guess?
Did you
guess my mum? Did you get it right? 10 points if you got it right. It was my mum, guys. She's insane. No. something that gave me loads of closure was recently, over the past few years, I looked my mum dead in the eye and I was like, despite everything that you did, I succeeded. Your one job was to keep me here safe and well and love me, and you fucked up.
I succeeded in spite
Everything you set me up for. This is all me. And kind of in the, like, didn't go to private school, you know, like, my parents didn't pay me to get anywhere. I've fucking groveled and scraped my way through, and I'm fucking proud of myself and I'm owning it. And maybe your achievements don't look exactly like that, but something recently I've been getting people to do, I've been getting Seffi to do it, I've been getting my boyfriend to do it, everyone in my life suddenly has homework from me, which is to write down, not like affirmations like, I am lovable, I am beautiful, I am kind, but actually, like, write down really specific things of, like, one of mine was, I got 100% in my higher education access course, and I didn't even try, was in brackets. Like, I like write down really specific achievements, and I want you to write 30 of them. I don't want three little achievements, scabby little things. Absolutely not. No, I need 50 by the time the day is out. Right? Like, I need a lot, because when you go into it thinking, just write down a few things, good things I've done, it's like, no. I need a huge list, because then they start reeling off. You start getting a bit crazy. You start seeing yourself in a whole different life, and you have this actual real life evidence-based stuff that you can use to shift your kind of self-critical mindset that you may have if you're anything like us.
I've done my...
But your friends might not like it.
No, they probably
Your friends might not like it, yeah.
I've done mine, I don't know if this is correct, but I've done mine in kind of a graph. So it's been like, so it's all, well, not a graph, like a table, sorry.
Okay.
So it's like, on one side, there's like all the bits of evidence. And then I've gone with the adjective that kind of describes that. So I've been like, I blah, 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 trustworthy.
Exactly.
I blah, 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 loyal. Like is that kind of the vibe?
Yes, that's perfect. Because, okay, well, cool. That was what Rachel said to me, the high and mighty
Rachel,
Queen Rachel, my current therapist. Amazing. Because what I'm liking about it is very evidenced and like real. It's very tangible. It's not like kind of waiting for the mindset to shift. It feels like I've never known anything to actually like physically be rewiring my brain in this way. I almost didn't believe that was possible for me, kind of, as I said, like I can't remember a time of not feeling really like, you know, my brain was bad. But yeah, the idea is that instead of just writing down, like I said, like I'm lovable, I'm beautiful, all of these things, you're getting those adjectives in response to the evidence that you've put down.
So you can't argue with it.
Can't fucking argue with it then. Yeah. If someone, for example, give me something, an evidence for you.
I don't know, let me get on my thing.
Oh, nice. Well, like for mine, for example, what I just said about doing well on my thing, I got 100% and I didn't even try that hard, guys. I'm not even gonna lie. And I'm not gonna lie, people found it exceptionally hard and I thought it was quite easy. I do have a brain in here somewhere. I attributed the trait, the quality, a positive quality from that. It might have been intelligent or yeah, let's do intelligent. And it's like, I might not always feel like an intelligent person, but I have some evidence here that says that I am. Go on, tell us some things about you. This is nice.
This is random. I like, this is the thing with writing this stuff. It's like random shit comes to you. I bleached my hair peroxide blonde after years of being brunette against hairdresser's advice and looked amazing.
That is iconic. That is so funny. Against the advice of the professionals.
They said do not
good
do it.
Good for you. Good for fucking you. Good. And what was the trait that came out of that, sorry?
Risk taker.
You are a risk taker.
Big time.
I would encourage everyone to start writing down the random good things that you have and that you've done and little bits of evidence. I just think it's so lovely. Should we wrap then?
I think let's end it here. What a nice episode. What I did not really know what direction this was going to go in, but I like the direction it's gone in.
I think quite selfishly I've turned this into, i.e. the last episode, a bit of a trauma dump. No, I'm joking.
Absolutely,
I would never call it that. No offence.
Absolutely
if anyone
not.
Listens to what I just said and like thinks negatively of the episode or of me, you don't deserve to listen and you can go fuck yourself.
Please. God. I also think a lot of people relate to that. Like a lot of people that we get, like, who doesn't have a complicated relationship with their parents? I think a lot of people will be able to see bits of themselves in that and be like,
yeah,
that's, I think it's helpful.
Oh, well, I hope it's helpful, guys. I hope you're all okay. I hope no one's 14 and crying. I hope you're all right. I think there's been some shocking moments in this episode. We've both given each other a jaw-dropping moment with the daft you said when I got a little bit misunderstood. And
look, I wouldn't be friends with anyone if they were like out of our friendship group. You're
oh Jesus, we were just having the conversation before we started recording as well of like, this is kind of what I've really fueled the episode, was me saying like, Seffi has such a kind of energetic, free spirit, beautiful light essence that people can't help but want to bring her down, and it fucks me
off.
But anyway,
I do think there's people say things to me that they would never say to other people, rude things, and I think
rude.
I agree with you that I think
disrespectful.
There's something about me that people really do want to be like, well, she's got to welcome to the real world. She's got to get in the real world. Like people want to
bring you down, take you
down
a notch.
Sure.
Yeah,
but it's not that fucking high anyway.
No, you're not.
So like, please
I
don't.
Can see. No, you are. You are. You're high as a kite, but you haven't always been high as a kite. And even when you're not high as a kite, I think it's kind of the sense of self and the confidence that you don't even know that you have, that you move through life with, that people are like, why does she get to feel like that? Like, no, like, life is miserable and she can't be happy in herself, sort of thing. Anyway.
Well,
and the tattoo, that was shocking too, wasn't it?
Can you not? Because
yeah, can you not? Because you're about to get some seriously harsh words from me. And as sweet as I am, I can actually be quite brutal.
Yeah, no, you can when you want to be.
I can,
sure.
Actually.
You can.
I really can.
Yeah.
I can.
Right. Well,
let's go. Yeah, if you don't hear from us,
assume the worst.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.